You're now listening to Chewing the Fat Podcast with your host, Sapa Brick, King Kelso, Coffee Black, and your boy, Sincere B. Sit back and relax and enjoy the show. Let's do this.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Chewing the Fat Podcast. We got four crazy dudes that host this show. There's Sapha Britt.
Yeah,
the Sapha Britt. The Britt from the UK.
Change your name, Sapha. No, you got to change it.
No, I'm not changing it.
You got to change it, dude. You got to now.
You got to. We got King Kelso.
The king, man.
We have Coffee Black. That's me.
No sugar, no cream.
He's straight.
And we got the man, Sincere B.
What it do?
Yeah.
We got some pretty good subjects today, man.
Oh, I can't wait for one of them.
Yeah, I can't wait either.
I haven't even read them all yet. I'm worried now.
Okay.
Yeah. Somebody don't join the chats. Person. That's why they don't read it. I ain't sit on names. I kind of ride with Sapha.
It's the brisket.
Does it have tut in it? Yeah, okay.
All right, what are we going to do first?
The first subject is chivalry dead. Ooh. And if you got to ask what chivalry is, it's dead. It's dead. But that's like opening it. Doors for ladies, pulling chairs out for the ladies. Also, when you go in the building, take your hat off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it dead?
It shouldn't.
Now, the second one. Really, this one here really got my blood boiling. This teacher who had to pay her substitute work for her while she was on medical leave with breast cancer.
Whoa.
What kind of, man, that's a...
Yeah.
Let me calm down.
I'm down.
And the third one is what age... I don't even know why I'm asking this one.
I don't either, but it's cool.
What age do you allow your child's boyfriend or girlfriend to spend the night?
I'm not going to use
that. Now, hold on. I got to say this right quick, man. This is borderline racist.
What?
This is borderline racist.
What racist?
How do you get that?
When we get to that, I'm gonna tell y'all how. But you know what? There's one person in this chat that I know who would probably let their kid, boyfriend or girlfriend, spend the night. And I'm gonna let you know who that is.
All right, let's go. All right, what's next?
Okay.
And if we have time, we're gonna run across this one. Companies hiring disabled people compared to undisabled people. Now, companies feel like that hiring disabled people is more hindrance than it is to hire non-disabled people. So if we have time, we're going to talk about
that. U.S. or U.K.?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is in the U.K.
What? Y'all fucked up.
Well...
You're just like America.
Hey, that's America. That's America East. You ain't know that.
I see it now. God damn it. I thought we better go somewhere. Nope.
All right.
Which one are we going first? Which one are we doing first?
Let's see. We're going to spin the wheel. And we're going to teacher who had to pay her substitute to work while she was on medical leave with breast cancer.
Wow.
So she had to pay the substitute teacher to work her place while she was on medical leave for breast cancer.
Correct.
That's the craziest shit ever heard, dude.
I almost feel like we're missing a part of the story. I mean, is that the whole story, or is it not another side to the story?
It doesn't even matter if it is. Really, like what can it be?
Yeah.
But here.
Yeah, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, okay, maybe it's something that I'm missing.
I put a link in the chat.
Then I was like, what the fuck could I be missing? Why would, what circumstances would lead?
I mean, you can go into it. Because teachers, all teachers get 10 paid days of medical leave. Now, it actually is the law. It says under the 1976 California law, the cost for the substitute teacher would be deducted from the teacher's salary.
Okay.
So this, okay. But that's, just, I mean, okay. Yeah, so it is the law there. So they're not doing anything that's quote-unquote illegal, but come on, man. Like, really?
You know what? Here's the thing. I'm sure it's plenty of laws that they don't enforce. Mm-hmm. That are just as odd and outdated as that one. So it's like, why in all these circumstances would you pick that one to enforce? You know? Because everybody got rules that are just outdated. We never get around to changing them. And then when something happens, then you want to change it, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
From what I'm reading here, it says all teachers receive 10 paid days of medical leave a year.
Right.
If a teacher needs more time, they can get another 100 sick days at a price.
Right.
So, I guess that law needs to be reviewed. I mean, how many times do you think teachers go off sick? No less than 10 days.
I guess all day.
So
now there's a positive side. They did do a GoMe fund. It has now stopped. GoFundMe. It has stopped. They collected donated about $13,000, and they have now stopped it. So that should be enough, hopefully, to cover it. Hopefully, for a little while.
And hopefully this situation brings awareness. Like Safi was saying, you need to review it, man. Look, we didn't think about it before, and now that it popped up. We need to sit down and make this stuff right, because it's not right, no matter what.
Right. And I already not getting paid enough money. Now,
especially in California.
Yeah, and now she has breast cancer, where she got to pay her own medical bills. Because they ain't got no good insurance.
Right.
And that cancer, you know, that's a grip, yo.
That's a
grip of money right there.
Well, a lot of people don't understand that, man. They have policies for cancer. They have cancer insurance. So if that shit runs in your family, it's probably a good idea. When you get around that age, when you got to get your regular checkups and all that, for me, next year, 50, no matter what the doctors say, I'm getting my cancer policy.
So,
you know what I mean? Without a doubt, because it runs in my family. There's no sense of me bullshitting about it, hoping it's not going to happen to me. Generation after generation, it's shown that it will, so I'll be ready.
And that's the thing. A lot of our laws need to be reviewed and revised. Because this one here blew my mind. Back in 19, they just changed this like in 2000, 2001, I think. It was illegal for a interracial couple to get married in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a lot of laws still on the books, man.
It's a lot of crazy rules and laws up there, man. We'll make this one so upsetting. You know, somebody could have said, you know what, let's just not do that. You know, somebody could have said that. It was like she was taking sick leave because she had a cold for 8 months. She literally got breast cancer.
Right.
You know? Or some I don't know. They could have figured something better than that. Send that, take
yourself. Man, there's always loopholes around that shit. I don't believe that she's the first person to teach her to get cancer and have to take leave more than the 10 days that's allowed. So I'm kind of getting the feeling that somewhere, somehow, the rules were not enforced or maybe flexed a little bit. Because I just can't see, since 1976, this is the first teacher to ever get cancer.
You know what? I'm kind of going to throw this conspiracy theory out there. Maybe she was one of them teachers that rubbed the school board the wrong way.
Well, but that's the whole thing. You never know. It could be just as simple as that. But I know that rule had to be bent before.
Right. That's
on the news. Yeah.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. She was probably one of those teachers that, you know, rubbed them the wrong way, and then they said, you know what? I don't like her. Maybe there's a rule in here that, and they found it and said, okay, we're going to, you know, apply it to her.
I don't tell them. Because, I mean, you know how they treat teachers. They treat them like shit anyway.
Yeah.
And then the ones that want to stand up for everybody, they definitely get treated poorly.
Yeah, I just think we're missing a piece of the puzzle here, because as you read further down, it says here, teachers who require additional medical leave can draw from a sick leave bank of up to 85 days without any deduction to their paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
It says teachers donate unused sick days to the bank to help their colleagues. So,
I'm sure she missed that. I mean, 85 days, maybe she did.
Maybe she didn't qualify. she upset someone, right, and was like, "Well, screw you. You're not going to get it."
We got the same thing for federal, but to get that started, you would have had to put in a couple of hours of your own time toward that leave bank, so that when you need it, then you can join the leave bank. So if that's the case, then if she got cancer, I mean, she's already been going to treatment, already missing days. She may not have any time to put it to the leave bank.
Okay.
And what happens is if you donate to the leave bank and you don't use it, then somebody else who needs it comes to the leave bank, qualify for it, then you'll be donating your leave to them. But it'll show that you've donated. So if you need later on, you can now join the program because you made your donation before. She may not have had any need to donate it so that she can join the leave bank or whatever. If it works the same way as federal, so I'm not sure. But that sounds similar to what we have.
I think they're missing.
We're definitely missing something.
Pieces of the puzzle there, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing that we're not missing is the fact that it's a dumbass law and it needs to be changed.
And if we missing something, the point still, either way it goes, it still shouldn't have boiled down to she had to even go through the process of having to pay for a substitute teacher to take a spot. That makes no sense. Why is the school paying for the substitute teacher to come in?
You would have thought, right? So, yeah. I mean, I know teachers probably already get, you know, when kids go on holiday, I'm sure they enjoy that time off as well, right?
Yeah.
But, and the 10 days is pretty much statutory, I would imagine. I think even my colleagues in the US also only get about 10 days a year leave anyway. Yeah. But you're right. I mean, it shouldn't be up to the individual who is the sick one to sort out the payment of the extra substitute teacher. Because I would imagine if she's going to pay for it, does she get to interview her? Does she get to decide
whether she's
hired or not? Right? Probably not, right?
Yeah. All right. Let's roll the wheel to the second question. Is chivalry dead?
Well, when we say dead, are we like dead as a doornail, or if you see it once in a while, it's still alive? I see chivalry.
Okay, well, let me put it like this. Should we still be doing it in this day and age?
Hell yeah.
That's up to the individual, right? Yeah. Do you want to be seen in a positive light? Do you want to be liked by people? Do you want to have a positive perception of yourself, or are you going to be just like everybody else?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you my point of view. Because all the like and everything is exactly right. But I want to be liked and respected by women. You know what I mean? Well, hold on, not for the reasons you think. Maybe. But the biggest thing, man, my grandmother raised me. My dad was a single parent until I was 14 years old. Right? And he did the best he could, but I can tell you now, because me and him have a better relationship than once had. He didn't do too well. He was dealing with his own things. He was a Vietnam vet, had his own issues with alcohol and drugs, whatever. I mean, but he's good now. You know what I mean? So he and I are straight. Our relationship is tight. You know? But my biggest influence was from my aunt, my cousin, my grandmother, and all the ladies in the neighborhood. Right? So even though my biological mom wasn't there, and the people that know, well, people who think it's my mom is actually my stepmother. You know what I mean? Technically. But She's really my mom, right? So for me, being liked and admired by women is more of how I grew up. You understand? Listening to them and being guided by them and all that. I feel more joy if I have 10 female friends versus 20 male friends. You know what I mean? It's cool, but I'm going to be over here trying to make sure that the ladies see me in a positive light. You know? And I like opening doors. I like doing all the chivalrous type stuff. You know, because so many people walk and just let the fucking door close into a woman's face.
Yep.
You know? But then, I've held doors to plenty of women that walk through that motherfucker and didn't say shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, no, I think I know what you're saying, and it's kind of the same for me as well. It's just your upbringing, you know. If you were brought up, and those values were instilled in you, right? I mean, even now, I do it without even thinking. Yeah. I mean, I'll hold the door open, or I'll hold the lift, or you know, I'll open a door or whatever. But I don't even expect a thank you. Do you know what I mean? I just do it, and if it puts a smile on their face. Yeah, that's all the things that's, you need, right?
Absolutely. And, man, y'all are tripping. And, no, but you better open the door yourself. Your arms ain't broke.
No, but check this out. Let me show you how powerful.
Let me just finish this one bit. So, yes, so this is a prelude to when you are looking to date a woman or you're trying to impress a woman. So if you've already got those values, right, and you think that the woman's interested in you or you're interested in her, and you just naturally do this kind of thing because it's part of you, right, it makes the woman feel special, right? So you're already over that first hurdle, right? And it kind of gives you an edge, I have to say. It does give you an edge, right? But because you do it so automatically, right, you're immediately better than the idiot who doesn't do it, right? So that gives you one up on it, and that is just you know, something that your parents have given you and said, you know what, this is going to serve you in life, and hopefully you find someone worthy, right?
Yeah. I mean, let me
give you an example. Hold on, real quick. So my daughter, her favorite place is Chick-fil-A, right? After swim practice, before water polo practice, Chick-fil-A is where they go. Right. So she was going to Chick-fil-A, and she stopped. And she held the door open for this older lady coming in. This lady was so thankful. She thanked my daughter. You know, I appreciate it. She went to the counter and bought a gift certificate, a gift card. And while she was waiting to order, she filled it out. Thank you so much for holding the door open for me. And here's a token of my gratitude or whatever, some shit like that. So she went up there, got her food, bought that gift card, filled it out. Before she left, she gave it to me just because she held the door. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking because the time of the day she usually goes in there, you got all these high school kids talking and saying a whole bunch of inappropriate shit. But then that one day you go in there, you get this high school kid that fucking opens the door for you, let you go in. And yeah, it will fuck you up because 90% of the people out here don't even think about it. They don't care about it. It's not a big deal. When, in my opinion, it should be.
Yeah, well, you know what that tells me? You know what that tells me? It tells me that that chivalry is not being passed on to the next generation.
Yeah, right? I understand.
So that when the older generations see it, they will go to great lengths to appreciate it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's so sad. That is so sad.
It is.
You know, man, stop whining and crying and talking about it.
Here we go.
I'm listening, and then y'all talk about, oh, that's going to help you out in the long run if you're trying to find a mate. Please, women like bad boys. They ain't open that door for that heifer. She got open your own door. You ain't got no broken arms. Wrong with y'all. Man, y'all be tripping.
Excuse me, Miss Heffa, I'm going to open the door for you. I'm going to take my hat off when I come into your house. I'm going to wipe my feet off at the door before I walk into your house. I'm going to make you love me, Miss Heffa. I don't know what's wrong with Reggie.
Yeah, y'all be tripping, man.
His black ass crazy.
Y'all be tripping.
You're crazy. Well, I love that, man. That's a, think, I'm telling
that's
you.
That's crazy, dude.
For every it's woman like, to say thank you, it's like 10 of them. There's a smile. It brightens their day. You know what I mean? Just makes them fucking feel special.
All right, so.
What's wrong with that?
It goes the same for old people, by the way. I have to say, yeah. You know, if you see a lady struggling to open, even if it's a guy, it doesn't have to be a woman. An old guy can't open the door; he's battling or he's fumbling with his parcels. You open it for him, you know, and they are so grateful. And that I do, no matter whether they're old or young. Well, if they're really young, they can, you know, then and they're not struggling. Obviously, I'm not going to rush over there, but. You know, definitely for old people and I mean, that is chivalry to one point, but it's also just being kind to your fellow old person, right?
Look, fam, I opened the door for me. You know what I mean? And I thanked her, and I was happy about it.
Yeah, I've never had a woman hold the door for me, but I've had other men hold doors for me.
Yeah, right?
That's because they was flirting with you, man.
Yeah. Man, no.
He's like, who is this? Come here.
I said thank you, and I smiled.
And I'll make sure I say thank you exactly. Yeah. You know, and I try and avoid eye contact.
Yes, I definitely. I'm not looking at, but thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Yeah. My shoes have become very interesting.
I know. One of y'all said thank you, then licked your lips and walked away.
You don't know I did that.
Shit.
You ain't got no proof.
I got a different perspective on this, though.
Okay, let's see. Right.
And I've been thinking about this a lot, man. And, all right, so I look at it this way. And I thought about when this all started, the time that it started. And I feel like now, the deal with opening the doors for women, all this has stuff for women, I think now, it's kind of disrespectful in a way to me. Because I feel like this was implemented at a time where women couldn't vote. They had no rights. Mm-hmm. They were expected to be home barefoot and pregnant. And for a consolation prize, men said, hey, let's open the doors for them. Let's take off our hats when we're in their presence. As giving them a consolation prize. Over the years now, women making more money than we are. They are no longer oppressed. And I think that even though I still do it out of habit, and if I'm on a bus, and I see an elder person, man or woman, I probably give them my seat. But I've asked women who are not older, you know, of age, whatever, sit down, and they don't want to take it. They refuse to take it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot of women out there that feel the same way, that they no longer want to be given that consolation prize of having a man take his head off in their presence, whatever. They don't need that no more. Even though I still do it out of habit, I like to do it for my wife, that's cool. But I think if we're going to keep this going on, it needs to be explained that you're doing this because you just want to, not because you have to, and that it makes the woman feel better when you do it. Because really, like I said, I think it could be a slap in the face, too.
Yeah.
Okay. But see, the thing is, we have to go back and look at the entire history of it. And this goes all the way back to medieval times.
Mm-hmm.
When knights were knights were roaming the planet and stuff. So,
but even then,
even then, yeah. But it wasn't. But that was the thing, though. It wasn't. Even back then, it wasn't to appease women, so to speak. It was just a set of code that knights did automatically. And they didn't just do it for women. They did it for everybody because that was their set of code. As time progressed, we changed it to as being morally, you know, and doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But this is about women, though.
I think it depends on your perspective, right? I see your perspective, right? And I can see where you're coming from on that one. But I think if we were to boil it right down to look at the modern version of this, and this would be in the last, say, 100 years, okay, the modern version, it was probably more to do with wooing the woman, right? I mean, let's be honest, right? Yeah. I think that's perhaps where the origins came from, in to woo the woman, because obviously, you know, we all want to get some, right? We all want to impress. Sometimes we don't have the words, but sometimes actions speak louder than words, right? So I think that this shouldn't be looked at as, you know, as insulting or whatever to a woman. Or, you know, a woman can always refuse, right? She can always refuse. She can always, if you try to hold the door open for her and she goes, no, you first, and she beckons you, then by all means, right? So she still has the option. But I've seen more often than not that woman accept it, mm-hmm. and only sometimes do they thank you for it. But you know, obviously, don't ever expect a thank you. And I think I've had a very, very few women actually look at me in the eye and say thank you, and mm-hmm. that blows me away every time. Right? So I don't look at it from that point. Even though I do acknowledge your point. I see where you're coming from, and maybe some women do feel that way, right? Like, no man needs to do this for me. I can vote now. I can this. I can that. And woman power and all this. And you know what? Power to them. They don't have to accept it. But I think there are still a large amount of women out there who do enjoy it and who do like it. And perhaps somewhere deep inside, they think to themselves that they wish that their man would do something like that, right? So I think it still holds some value. Yeah. I think because it's decreased in popularity, I think maybe the value has tripled. And it's something that I think, you know, I will still do, even when I'm 85, I will keep doing it, you know, and not to woo women, not at 85, but just out of courtesy and to a certain point out of respect, right? So
I don't think it's going to continue. Yeah. I don't think it's going to carry over. I think it stops at our generation. You don't think so? Nah. Yeah. I see women leading now, man. They walking first to the door. You know what I mean?
That's right. Well, she can hold the door open.
Well, that may be, but we're discussing about women, not men, though. That's the issue. The topic's right. About.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, if they charge towards the door first, and they walk through it first, and they don't leave it open for you, that's just that, yeah, right? I mean, there's no obligation from them to reciprocate or wait for you to open the door. I think even that could be quite cheeky nowadays. Imagine you both walk to the door, she gets there before you, then she just sits and waits and then looks at you. Yeah,
I don't think this generation even thinks about that. They just walking, and just whoever gets to the door first just go through. It's no man running to the front to open it up for her or nothing. She's not waiting. She doesn't look mad when it doesn't happen. I just see them walking and enjoying a good time, and that's it. I mean, you hardly see any guy open up car doors for women anymore.
That's the thing. I talk a lot of crap, but I teach my sons that, and. By me teaching them that, I know that some of that is going to leak down to their kids. Mm. So I still, you know, instill that in them.
Yeah.
I also think it's good values. It's good values, I think.
But I mean, if it continues.
It's a good value because you are putting somebody else before yourself, right? So I think at its core, I think it teaches you you know, to not always think of yourself, and I think it's a lesson in being humble as well. And like I came down the lift the other day. Well, I think you call them escalators or elevators, right? And there were three women and myself in this elevator. And when we got to the ground floor, the doors opened. They all looked at me, like they thought I was going to exit first. But they all looked to see what I was going to do first. Like there's three women and a man in a lift. Or elevator. They come down, the doors open, and the first thing I did is I looked at them because I wasn't going to go first. And I was looking to see who was going to go first, but they all looked at me like I was going to leave first. And all I did was I just stood back and I waved my hand across my body like that, and they all looked down and walked out first. And that's just usually what happens.
But maybe they're the type of women that just assume man's going to go first, though.
They must have. But they must have assumed that, right? So
chivalry. They just.
What I'm saying is, I beckoned them to leave first. I stayed behind, right? I beckoned them to leave. But it was interesting that they looked at me because I've noticed some of the. I can only speak about the building that I work in. I noticed some guys, when the lift is about to get to the floor, usually say the ground floor as an example, I see men actually shift themselves right to the front of the door. Like they're almost like, you know, their nose is almost touching the middle of the door where the two doors come together, and they almost can't wait for it to open so they can jump straight out, right? And I've noticed that a lot lately. People get really like focused when their lift's doors about to open. And men, I've noticed, are the ones that kind of pounce as those doors open, right? So when you said to me that, oh, maybe they thought you were going to go first, I think you were right, because when I looked at them, they looked at me expectingly like, oh, are you going to go? And I just waved my hand across my body and said, no, after you. And off they went, you know. So they were fully expecting me to go out first, and I didn't.
Wow. See, I would have been like, behind me, peasants, and walked out.
God damn, right?
Well, he was let one off. Follow that.
Yeah.
It's right. A 96 reserve.
All right, here we go. Here we go. I promised y'all I was going to tell y'all the person I thought was going to do this. What age do you allow your child, boyfriend, or girlfriend to spend the night? And the person that I say would let their child, boyfriend, or girlfriend spend the night is, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Sincere B.
Oh, fuck no. I don't believe it.
He's laughing. He's got a nervous laugh. What does that mean?
Oh.
Say it ain't so.
My son's girlfriend moved in with us.
Oh. See?
But he's been grown for a long time.
But that's okay.
This is when he was probably, he was already past 18. But not a kid, no. Not my child. I never had a child, unless it's his best friend. He came over and hung out to play games that night. But no opposite sex, no.
No, I don't that. Mm-hmm. No.
He couldn't do it.
Listen, man, I know the proper reason, the proper thing to think is, you know, each child is different. You need to make sure, you know, they're mature enough for sexual activity and what may and may not happen and all those things you're supposed to look at and evaluate for each kid, right? That would be the proper thing to do. But fuck that. I ain't never done shit the proper way.
Nah. And,
none of my fucking kids going to be having no goddamn sleepovers with their significant other. Nah. If you going to fuck, you're going to have to earn that shit. I'm not going to do it. You have to work for it, because I had to work for it. I had to do a lot of sneaking around. I had to do a lot of motherfucking shit.
You got
shit.
Girls. That's even
you know what
worse.
I'm talking about?
I'm like, hell no.
No.
That's what makes it all different. I know what I was like at 12, 13, 14. And if I stayed over at one of my girlfriends, you better know that sex was happening. It was going to happen.
Somebody didn't know what the hell we were doing.
We did something. We're going to do something. That's for sure.
And see, I said it was borderline racist. Because I've never, ever met a black kid who parent would allow that to happen, and I done ran into so many white parents who have let it happen.
I'm not a mix of both, which is odd to me, because I used to think the same way. But these water polo parents or swim parents, man, them motherfuckers, like, they do too much. They don't want the fucking kid to even go to that goddamn prom. Who gonna be with them? You gonna dance with him? Fuck no, I'm not dancing with that motherfucker. Huh? I'm like, if you can't trust this kid to go to prom, you screwed. They're gonna be fucked up no matter what. You know what I mean? So some do too much and some don't do enough. You know? But yeah, it was one time that I would think, oh, all black folks are do it this way. Nah. You get out of the suburbs, oh my God.
And see, but that's the thing though, I'm not saying that all of them do. I just the ones that I've ran, the parents that I ran into,
right. Have.
Your experience has been that, right?
Yeah.
Mine was too until I moved out, into the county. And this shit is different, man. It's just, it's a lot of odd behaviors. That's all I can tell you.
And the one that really got me was when I was working at CVS way back in 2005. There was one of my ex high school mates that I knew. She had been married and divorced and all this, and she was Caucasian, but she married this black dude the second time. So now it's an interracial couple and all this, right? So anyway, I'm hanging out with them, and we all happened to end up at our ex-husband's house, right? And her, and I was like, where your kids at? And her 12-year-old daughter come out the room, and here comes her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, they let him move in. I was like, what?
Mm-mm. What the, you mean the 12-year-old's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You said, oh, man, shut up.
Yes. Yeah. But hold on. Check this out. She had another daughter. She had another daughter who was 16. Her boyfriend had moved in also.
No.
Now, the 16-year-old, she graduated kind of early, you know, because she was a smart kid, graduated early, and her mom got her a job at CVS, right? Mm-hmm. So we all hanging out one night, and we get a phone call, and her mom come running up to me, and she was crying and everything. I was like, what's wrong? The 16-year-old boyfriend committed suicide. Mm.
Whoa.
And the 12-year-old and her boyfriend came home and found him.
Oh. Man, see, that's that bullshit, man.
And I'm like, that. Right? That's why, like, my son now, my youngest son now, I tell him, it's cool to like a girl and all this, but get your life together, because situation becomes different when you become an adult.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you're not ready to handle those adult situations as a teenager, trying to handle school, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know. Yeah. You can't handle that.
The things I tell my daughter is because it's most adults can't handle adult shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So don't put yourself in a situation where you already got the odds stacked against you.
Right.
You know? And I try to explain to them the best I can is that people will try to make you think that your problems are age specific, but they're not. Problems are problems. I don't give a fuck how old you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Either you're able to, or you're equipped to handle them, or you're not.
And that's why some kids are more mature than others, I think. Yeah. You know, they've been through more shit than everybody else.
They've been allowed to go through more stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you get some fucking parents that want to hover over them. Well, I don't want nothing bad to happen to my baby. Well, how the fuck your baby gonna learn to deal with bad shit if you'll never let nothing bad happen to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
be there
yeah.
in case the bottom fall out. But man, my daughters understand that I'm insurance. She get too fucked up, you call me. You get in a situation where you can't control, you call me. You don't never let it get to the point where it's unfixable. But I'm not gonna be hovering over your shit. You need me, we'll talk. You know what I mean? I'm insurance. I'm not here to fucking make every move, every decision for you. You know what I'm saying? Because they never learn nothing. You'd be forever washing their drawers if you don't teach them how.
Yeah, you can't micromanage at all.
Yeah.
So, Safa, would you allow Safa?
Would I allow one of my daughter's boyfriends to move in?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Hell or spend the night.
No, yeah, not even spend the night. I don't care. If it's going to happen, it's not happening under my roof, and I don't want to know about it.
I don't want to know about that bullshit. Yeah.
If I know about it and something happens, then it'll be like I could have done something to stop it.
Right.
No. If it happens, I want to know that there was nothing I could have done. I wasn't aware of it. I have plausible deniability.
Yeah.
And
what if?
Yeah. That's
what
it.
If your daughter was a lesbian and she only girls for a night? Would you let her do it?
Fuck. Oh yeah. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bring him over. Yeah. Yeah.
No. Like, will I do it then?
No. Oh yeah, that's fine. Oh,
wait, what?
Here we go.
No, all right, here we go.
No one's getting pregnant. That's fine.
Okay, here we go.
No, okay. Wait. Let me answer.
Put a twist in there.
All right. Let me answer. Well, I would be more inclined to say yes, but I would probably end up saying no if she was a lesbian. I mean, I would be more inclined. If she pushed it and pushed it it, I would probably give in. But if it was a boy, I'd be like, hell no.
That's discrimination. That is discrimination.
Well, that's it. I accept that. I accept.
I take that one there. I take that loss.
I am biased towards lesbians, okay? Okay. Positive discrimination, damn it.
All right. So.
I'm shutting everybody's shit down. No to everybody.
Thank you. No to everybody.
Because if I do it, like, if I do it my 18-year-old, just because she got a girlfriend, and then what I'm going to tell my 16-year-old when she want her
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Just tell her what Simon said. He's got a dick and she don't.
Hold
on.
This is good.
Not with my 16-year-old. She's probably the smartest out of all three of them. And that is not going to fly because she'll use that shit at every chance. No. So it's no to everybody.
Hold on. I don't get that, man. I don't understand that. Because she's able to get pregnant, but she's a lesbian, but she can still get pregnant, but yet still, that's some bull.
Okay, listen. Listen, the main reason why I wouldn't, right? The main reason, and this goes for whether a boy or a girl decides to come and wants to have it with my daughter. The reason why I would say no, it is partly because of the issue about getting pregnant. I suppose that's one part of it. But the main part is, can you imagine the drama that will be stirred up by having this other person living with you?
Yeah.
Right? I'll end up moving out myself if that happens, right? I mean, you know, and I'm not moving out of my own house, so I'd rather avoid the problem altogether by saying no up front, knowing that I've avoided all sorts of drama, whether that be getting pregnant or having arguments, and this person saw him doing this and she saw him doing that, and all that crap that you don't need in your life. So think of it as, you know, avoiding a bullet there. That's the way I look at it. I think getting pregnant is a part, but it's a relatively small part because, you know, the odds of her getting pregnant, let's just say, it's probably 50-50 or 60-40, right? 40 being the, you know. But I think there's a greater risk of there being drama and arguments and this and that happening in the household, having the extra person, whether they be male or female, living in the house. That's my main reason.
I got a quick story for you guys, man. My stepson met this chick, and he was staying here with us, right? Had everything scot-free, cool, paying rent and all this. He was staying here with us. He met this chick. He moves out. They're sleeping out in the car, and then the next thing I know, they're sleeping in the tent, and then the next thing I know, they move in with my brother. Now, my brother goes and calls and asks, hey, how come... First of all, he should have called and asked if it was okay. But you know, that's your house. Yeah, if you want them to move in, they ain't staying here in my house. But if you want them to move in, cool, that's you. So he said they moved in, and the girl came out the room, and they standing there talking one day. And my brother said, look, don't y'all turn this into a honeymoon haven and bringing no babies up around here, right? And then. He said the girl, you know, kind of looked and dropped her head. And then my brother said, oh, you already pregnant? Oh, you just fat. I was like, what?
What? The fuck?
What the hell?
Oh, God damn.
He's not very subtle. I get it.
Like, you know what?
Is she black?
Is this my crazy?
No, right?
That's why I had to make sure. I think it was a twist in this because
yeah, but man, here's the funny thing when I saw my stepson again, I was like, hey, did your uncle say all that? And my stepson was like, yeah. Mm. And I was like, And I just looked at him and I was like, you're an idiot, because ain't no way in the world he going to say anything like that to my girlfriend. We would have been sleeping out there in the tent again.
And the girlfriend would have went off. You know what I mean? He
got kicked out.
Mm-hmm. Could have been all kind of fuck yous and shit. Yeah,
this is the drama.
Poor baby. That's the drama.
Right. Right. And see, that's what, yeah, the drama.
That's why you shouldn't do it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly why.
Say no to everybody.
Unless they're lesbian.
Kids. I mean, when I was growing up, my mother made it very clear to me that if I wasn't going to study, when I turned 18, I was to get out the house.
Yeah.
Like that was pretty clear. She started telling me from the age of like 11. Right?
Damn.
Yeah. She's getting an early. She was like,
"Say, I just said,
you do like on my birthday." She'd be like, "Remember, when you're 18, you're out of here.
Happy birthday!
On your birthday, you got cake in a packed suitcase.
I would have to pack it myself. What are you talking about? It's not gonna pack it for me. No way.
Hey, you got a countdown on the cake." 13 years, 5 years.
I count down, okay.
It was like, yeah. T-5 years.
T-minus.
Yeah,
no.
It's
like you got five more to leave. Five what? 5, 4, 3.
Mm. Yeah, and that makes you feel so loved and appreciated, you know. And so the closer I got... You know, I realized that my time was close, but I understand what she meant by that, though, and I'm going to kind of use that same. I want to try. And okay, obviously, she never had any daughters, but now that I've got two daughters, I want to use that same logic, but obviously not as harsh. You know, I won't be reminding them at 11, "Hey, by the way, you got 7 more years, you're out of here." but I'll make it very clear that, you know, if they're going to study, you definitely can stay on. But definitely no one else is moving in. You know, I don't care if you're 30 and you're studying, no one's moving in. You can move out, but no one's moving in.
but hold on. I don't care if you're not studying. I don't care if you're 100. You're not moving in my crib with your boyfriend or girlfriend. No. Get your own place.
Because there's always going to be some drama. Financial hardship, though.
Financial hardship, such as you had a job, she had a job, y'all living in life, and then all of a sudden y'all end up bankrupt or something like that.
Oh, like they're sick. Somebody got sick and they can't work.
Yeah.
They got parents.
I'm hearing about children.
They got parents.
I'm hearing about kids who are 40 and still haven't left home. Right. They've got a job, right? But they stay at home with their mum. Their mum does their washing, does their everything. They literally do not. You know, that's definitely not happening here.
Nah, fuck that.
But you ain't moving in my crib with your boyfriend, girlfriend, wife, or whatever. You ain't bringing your little snotty nose kids. You ain't bringing your dog, your cat, your fish, nothing.
Damn, Reds. I'm a harsh motherfucker, man, but I don't know if I'm that hard. You know what I mean? My daughter. My oldest, 6-year-old, she came back a couple times. Right? I let her come back because she always wanted to be out on. She bought her first car. She did a whole nine. You know what I mean? I wanted to buy her first car, but she wanted to do that shit on her own. Now she fell on some difficult times, so I didn't mind her coming back because she followed the rules. She wasn't disrespectful. She did everything she could do, you know. But now, man, she out here balling out of control.
You know, okay, yeah.
Best life. You know?
And see, my stepson, mm-hmm. he had moved out and all that, and he was going back to school, trying to get his GED and all this. I let him move back in to help him, you know, as long as he was in school, it was cool.
Yeah.
Then he met the chick at the adult alternative school. Then he was still living here. Want to move out? Okay, bye. Now he's back again because we got him because we went down there and talked to him and got him back into, you know, the adult education so he can get his GED. Because he lost everything. He had a car, he had an apartment, had a nice job, but chasing after her, he lost everything.
Yeah.
My son moved.
Now I'm letting him back in, but he's only gonna be here for no longer than 4 months. If he ain't got his stuff together in 4 months, I'm sorry, bro.
You can't hold a hand forever. Yeah. You know, but if they go through something extraordinary, yeah, you don't let them back. But I ain't washing shit for you, I ain't cooking shit for you. We ain't doing none of that.
My son moved back with us. Yeah, he was like 30. He's a pharmacy technician. He's been a pharmacy technician since like high school, but he wanted to go back to school to learn graphic designs. He wanted to pay for it himself. He couldn't do both. So he moved back with us, went to school, and like a month before he graduated from the Art Institute from Seattle, the school closed down, yo.
What?
This just happened a couple months ago. It closed down like a month before they got ready to get to graduate, man. So all that time and money, and now you're trying to get some kind of programs where you can forgive. It's like $45,000, dude, for the school.
Man, come the fuck.
So now, and that didn't erase anything. The money is still owed from the school, right? So
yeah.
It's a big place. This is a big place, man. And out of nowhere, it just closed it. So, but now he's moved back out. Now he's back out there doing his thing. But yeah, he came back too, man. We let him back in. He was.
So he's not doing the pharmacy stuff no more?
Oh, no, he still does that. He's always done that. He just wanted to do graphic design also. And
I remember that.
So, he still do pharmacy.
Yeah, I think coming back for short spells because either you're changing your career or you need that safety net of your parents just to help you, you know, leg up onto something else. I think it's totally fine. Like, I have no problem with that. But it's when you let them back in indefinitely, and then they choose not to work, and they choose not to do this, and they choose to just to stay home. I think that.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No. Yeah, that's when we have problems.
I got a question though. How many of us has moved back in with their parents?
I never been back home. Period.
Yeah, me neither.
When I left high school, I came back after boot camp. I never been back.
No, I know. So. Closest I got to doing anything, living anywhere with my parents after I left, is when I came back over here to rehab this condo that I'm living at now.
Okay,
but I do have a different kind of relationship though, with my family though, so it's different.
And and I moved back in for a month after when I moved from DC back down here. Mm-hmm. I lived with my parents for a month. My thing is, we never went back, right? But why is it okay for us to let our kids come back?
We're different parents.
We went out there and we did what we had to do to keep striving and surviving.
Mm-hmm.
But why are we allowing our kids to have a safety net? We didn't have
boils down to, like, for me, I didn't want to go back. That's the difference. I didn't want to live there.
Yeah.
Like my kid, he might like to be, because we're that kind of parents. We're cool with, you know. Right. So I think the kids are cool with their parents. You know, it's a feel different than I don't mind living with my parents, because they're not going to stress me out by being on my ass by everything, like fixing my bed or some shit like that. You know, they're not going to be stressing me out. So I don't mind living with my parents. Versus like me, I didn't want to be there, period. I didn't want to live there. I knew I would leave and I didn't want to come back. I think it depends on that relationship that you have with your kids.
Yeah, I agree with that. I was very similar to that. I vowed never to go back. I wasn't going to rely on them for a roof over my head, or food in my stomach, or for money in my pocket. Right. And I remember the once I ran out of money 4 days before payday. Right. And I'm talking like I was broke. The only money I had was for like two packs of cigarettes. Right. And that was it. That's all the money I had. So I went and bought the two packs of cigarettes because, you know, that's what you do if you smoke. Mm-hmm. And I didn't eat for 4 days.
Shit.
And I was too proud to go and tell my parents I was hungry. So I just stayed in my room. I was actually renting a room. So everything I had was in the room, like my bed and everything. And I literally just stayed in there.
Safa,
I got a lot of respect for you, man. You're cool and everything, but fuck them damn cigarettes.
Hell no! Cigarettes are more important. They were more important than food. They were, right? So, I went to work, and I lived off free coffee at work, and I lived off of cigarettes. That was it for 4 days.
No.
And let me tell you, after 4 days, you actually start to see stuff, like in the corner of your eyes. And you do. You start to hallucinate, you know. And then you start to, and then your mind kind of wanders like, oh, okay, have a nice juicy steak and
some
garlic butter sauce, and you actually start to salivate, but there's nothing to eat, right? So then you get annoyed with yourself, and
you're
then
like, Jesus, is that
then
you?
and then you start to organize that when your paycheck hits your bank. The first thing you're gonna buy to eat, what are you gonna eat? And I planned it all out. I was like, I'm gonna have this, I'm gonna have that, da, 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 da. And sure as nuts, when that paycheck hit my bank account, I went straight to the nearest steakhouse. I ate like a king.
I bet.
Right? And then afterwards, when I got in the car and drove home, I said to myself, right, what have we learned? The lesson we've learned here is don't run out of money for food. Right? And ever since then, I have never made that same mistake again.
That's crazy. Good story. Yeah,
but if I had just gone to my parents and I'd said to them, listen, I'm hungry, they would have given me a meal. But then I would have gone, well, I can always go back to them. You know, I didn't want that.
And it's the same thing for me. I didn't come back till I felt like they needed me here. You know what I mean? Because I was living so close to my dog, to my house. You know, they would come over, walk my dog when I was in a lot. I was comfortable, you know. But this place being empty and they're paying the association dues every month and it's getting, the condition is going down, getting deteriorated. I made a conscious choice to leave my comfort zone to come help them. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it was like, that would be the only way that if we ever live together, it will be so I could have them close and take care of them. You know what I mean?
Oh, right. Yeah, I think that's the only story.
Because it was the pride and all that other bullshit that, because there was plenty of times I probably should have asked for help, but I didn't. It was just the pride. I'm gone. I said I'm not coming back, and that's what all that dumb shit.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, with my daughters, I don't want them to have that. You know, I want you to go out there and handle it. I want them to be like their older sister, to tell you the truth. Because she went out there and she handled her fucking business. She only came back when it was absolutely necessary a couple of times, and she's been out there knocking the shit out of the park ever since.
Yeah, but everyone's different, right? I mean, I think that's one thing I've learned with my daughters as well. They are like polar opposites, right?
Oh, shit.
So if one does that, you would always want the other one to be as good or learn from her sister, right. But they don't, right? So I have had to accept that they are different, and that's what makes them unique and special. Yeah. And, you know, one's going to be great.
You're lucky.
And the one's just gonna make it, like.
Yeah. And one's gonna work at one. The fuck you are.
No, but that's just the way it goes, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah. All right, folks. It is time to say goodbye. I hate to say goodbye. I love these conversations.
I mean, I need a nap.
Now before we go though, it's Sunday is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Anything you want to say or stories you want to share anything?
Well, let me do mine first. All right, so check this out. So my mother's days, I was first of all, I was raised by my dad until I was 14. In the meantime, my grandmother was who I consider my mom. I found out that my grandmother passed away on my 21st. She died on my 20th birthday. Right? So birthday sucked ass from that point forward. Mother's Day sucked ass. But, you know, my biological mom, we didn't have a very good relationship. You know what I mean? She may listen to this. I don't really care at this point. But when I was 12 years old, she told me she hated me. I wasn't going to be shit. You're going to be just like your dad. Whole bullshit. Right? So we didn't have a good relationship. But my stepmother came along when I was 14. This is one woman who never done anything to hurt me. Nothing. Zero. Since the age of 14. That's a long ass fucking time, man. I'm 49 years old. Not one bad word, negative comment ever. Right? So that's my mom. Right? So Mother's Day, I think about how I didn't have my grandmother as long as I want. And I think about how me and my biological mom are just now starting to form a relationship. Right? But Mother's Day is for someone who's not biologically my mom, but in every other sense of the word, is the only person I would ever consider my mother. So, Miss Deborah McQueen, happy Mother's Day.
Did I ever meet your real mom? That's it.
Fuck, no, you ain't missing shit.
I never met her, right?
No, yeah. Okay. You know it's Deborah.
Huh?
That's all anybody yeah, knows. Deborah, yeah. It's Deborah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's anybody it. Else?
Like, well, it's not Mother's Day in the UK, so it's not? You know, no.
We got half month. Y'all got it, no, though, right?
No, we've already had Mother's Day this year. Oh,
okay. Yeah.
Oh, we had it earlier. I think it was in April.
Oh wow! Okay.
Oh shit! You're gonna have to hit us on all. That's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go through all the fucking holidays. What y'all have? What we don't have? You gonna educate?
Why y'all gotta
bro.
Be different? Why y'all have on a different day to us?
What kind of shit? Yeah. Don't y'all want to be
it's
like
called Mother's Earthies? Day? What kind of, when is Christmas for y'all?
It's almost like the metric July? System and the imperial system. You know, you guys just don't want to jump on the train.
When is Christmas?
You know?
We don't.
Oh, Christmas is the same day. You know, the 24th.
Oh, now you can take
24th.
Wait a minute.
I'm just kidding. But we do have Boxing Day, which is what you don't have, which is the day after Christmas. So,
that's true.
That's when everybody donned their new boxing gloves, get out there in the middle of the street and fight.
That's it. No, that's different.
Christmas 25th, the 26th is Boxing Day.
Boxing Day,
that
yeah.
That's funny, dude. From off
Well, that's not funny because I'm just. Well, I understand why it is after Christmas because all the food that you didn't eat on Christmas, you box it up and give it to the poorer people.
That's what it was in the old days, but I think now it's just, that's cool. Why they call it Boxing Day. They box up all the leftovers. Yeah. Boxing wasn't just staying there like Mike Tyson in the middle of the road, right? It's it was basically you took all the leftovers from your Christmas feast the day before, boxed it up. Into
I'm stupid as hell, yo. Yeah. I'm thinking y'all really.
You would give that to the less fortunate and whatnot. Yeah,
I mean, for real. Like, it's Boxing Day. Like, I'm like, this gift, you better get these hands.
No.
You can take it back. Catch these hands. Which one you want?
That's a dumbass holiday. Boxing Day, yo?
I don't know if they still do it. But...
Potluck, man. That's all that is, man.
No, not if you're giving it to somebody who's less fortunate.
Well, I don't know. Yes, it is for them.
They're like.
Yeah, but I must admit, I don't go out and looking for less fortunate people and to give them my scraps. I don't. Okay,
it's literally called Boxing Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kelly. Yeah, that's a good idea. Like, we gotta do holiday for holiday. I gotta hear this shit.
But you guys have Thanksgiving, which we don't have.
Well,
yeah, that's bullshit too. So.
Yeah, I just mean we stole everything from India. That's all.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting them steal everything from them.
Rape and pillage your fucking country.
That's a whole other station. That's a whole other show.
Yeah.
So Mother's Day? Reg?
Nah, man. Forget my mama.
All right, cool.
Oh, goddamn.
I pumped my heart. All right, cool. Look, man. My mom died like 18 years ago. But my mom knows me, right? She know how I am. She knows that she's the reason why I moved back here, really, so I could take care of her because my rest of my family wasn't doing it, you know. So, yeah.
Well, long as she know, because you got me fucked up. So, all right, cool.
Yeah, but yeah. I do have a sister that lives in Atlanta that was like my mother, and she don't listen to the show, so forget her.
All right,
then. All right, for sure. Sounds like we got everything covered. I'm gonna go finish drinking
all
right, my beer.
It's on you.
Yep. All right. So that's it for the show, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to come back next week for another episode.
Yeah.
And until next.
Oh, sorry. By the way, we're gonna post this by Mother's Day, but because we're doing on Saturday, we won't be back for next week. We'll be back the following week.
Yeah. Okay.
A week off. Cool. But listen to our old stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, please. I need to get my listeners. I got like 1,000. That's cool, right?
Oh, that's pretty good.
But it's supposed to come from like 2 people. I don't know how the fuck y'all did it, but I love you.
Just listen to it again and again and again. You'll get it.
Now, it's been shared to multiple platforms. So if you look at the actual chart. It has it on Anchor, 55%, 18% on Apple, 18% on others, and 9% on Spotify.
Oh, okay. I dig it.
I got a question, Safa. What part of UK are you in?
The white part.
He
was like, "Yeah, that's true."
East, I think.
What's the name of the subdivision or the
county?
Yeah.
He lives in Negro Town.
Subdivision. No, I live in Lincolnshire.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, folks. No, I find the analytics to a lot of things interesting now because we're heard all over the world now.
Mm-hmm.
And our Instagram and all that is like all over the world. And it's amazing to me that a little old country boy like me could be seen and heard all the way in Zimbabwe and stuff like that. I'm like, that freaked me out, man.
I need to talk to the people in Zimbabwe, see if I got a cousin over there. Yeah,
I doubt it.
23. What?
Dude, my wife's from Zimbabwe.
My DNA is sub-Saharan. Well, no, I'm not.
Hold on. You got 23 of me? You got 23 of me? Because I just got ancestry. And I don't like 23 of me.
Why not?
Because, first of all, if I got some white in me, I don't want to know.
Why not?
Why not?
What's wrong with that? A bit of cream in your coffee? Come on now.
I'm just joking, man. I'm just joking.
70-30.
I like cream in my coffee.
You know what's so fucking cool about it? Is that my 70 is hard black as a motherfucker. I'm talking about Nigeria, fucking dark, dark black. And my 30, that motherfucker hard white, Ireland, goddamn British fucking shit. I'm like, okay. I'm just an extreme motherfucker, both races. I'm black, black, white, white. 70-30. Fuck it. It's cool.
Hold on. You're the best of both, you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I fucked up, because both my sides are like extreme shit.
Did we end the show?
We're trying to.
She's trying to, but we just can't get there.
Sorry, I've been drinking. My bad.
Man, like I said, we enjoy doing this for you guys, man. So be sure to tune in and check us out. Check out our Instagram. Don't forget to go check out my boy Sincere B Hot Wheels Instagram. That joint.
Man, I love them fucking.
That
man,
joint is the joint.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Pretty
good.
I like them.
Pretty good so far.
Fuck yeah. We got to talk about how you.
Try to be modest. It's doing pretty good. So far. Man, get out of here with that.
Well, why don't we have that? Why don't we have that on the next podcast? What? Right?
Yeah, I need to know about that. But how you set it up? Why you like fucking Hot Wheels? All that shit.
Yeah, don't be so coy now.
No, because I like the man. Listen, for the time and effort that you spend with the little presentation on each car, that's fucking amazing.
Cool,
guys.
Right?
I like it. So we need to talk. That shit. Every time I see that, I'm like, this motherfucker. I was trying to do something about it. Jesus Christ.
That's what I'm saying.
I put together a little fucking Instagram thing, then hear this motherfucker come.
Hold on.
Check this out.
Instagram. You see, King Kelso with the video about insurance. I'm like, all right, that, he doing something. Yeah. Then all of a sudden, you get this big old Marvel presentation of goddamn Hot Wheels.
I'm like, this motherfucker. I spent fucking $50 on this motherfucking video.
Y'all crazy, dude.
Here come a goddamn $2 car shining my head. This is fucked up, like, and I don't appreciate it. I love it. Because I'm like, God damn, that's a fucking car. Crazy, yeah. I'm like, this is a Hot Wheel.
Y'all crazy, though.
Whatever. You crazy.
Okay, okay. Shut it down.
We're right here.
This is our longest show. Oh, we got an hour and 14 minutes already.
All right, peace, y'all. Later. Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to follow our social media at Twitter. Or our Instagram at Chewing the Fat Podcast. Also, if you want to be a guest on the show, send us a message through Instagram and someone will get back with you. And if you want to shout out either yourself personally or your country, let us know also through Instagram. Thanks again for listening. Be kind to others, and mainly be kind to yourself. Peace.